team with high hopes and high expectations deserve high-quality coverage.
Matthews with a shot, score! Marner, score! Wee Willie Nylander!
Good thing you've come to the right place. You're listening to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
Stop with the blocking glove. The rebound in front. Brilliant save. Another shot into the glove of Nomelka. He is putting on a clinic here. Matthews, the shutout's over. Austin Matthews comes in off the left wing. And the wrist shot ends the shutout streak of Nomelka. And it's tied at one. Coyotes right wing side for Schmall to pass. The Coyotes have regained the lead, and Ryan Zingle has scored his second of the contest. The Coyotes, despite being outshot 46-18, are going to win this one by a score of 2-1.
Welcome to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Julia Tesheri and Al's brother Mike DeStefano with you as always. AB Joe Bowen said it best. They got goalied. They outshot the Arizona Coyotes by a really large margin. Melka put on the performance of his life, which is kind of becoming not common, but he's kind of a low-key underrated goalie in the league. And the Leafs learned that the hard way last night. They lost 2-1 to the Coyotes.
Yeah, did they ever. I mean, like, they threw everything at this guy last night. And, like, you can't even be upset about the loss because it's just, it's, you know, think back to that game against the Rangers where Shesterkin just, like, played out of his mind. And that
right.
was kind of what we saw last night with Vemelka. I mean, there was a couple of sequences there where I just was stunned, like, jaw dropped, that pucks didn't end up in the back of the net. That sequence in the end of the second period, I was just, I couldn't believe that they weren't able to score. It was like, Nylander came in, he had an opportunity, Matthews on the rebound, and then TJ Brody followed it up with another good shot from like, the slot. And it's just, from there, I knew, I was just like, this guy's just having a night. I mean, it was just incredible. Like, 45 saves against the Maple Leafs. And, like, the Leafs, it's not even like they were shooting, you know, little powder puff shots from the outside. Like, they were getting inside. You know, like, this was, they had 26 slot shots. 26 slot shots, which, according to SportLogic, is the most slot shots or the most slot saves that a goalie has made all season. So, like, they were getting inside. They were going to where you're supposed to score goals. They just couldn't do it. They got goalied. There's no ifs, ands, or ways. But, like, they got goalied. Karel Vemelka came out and looked like Karl Brodeur last night.
Yeah, love that line. Love that line from UAB. And we'll have Craig Button on in the next five or so to break that game down a little bit more. On the other side of the ice, in the other crease, AB, Peter Mrazek gets in the net for the first time in a long time. 2 goals on 18 shots. Missed the poke check on the second goal. Sheldon Keefe, it didn't sound like what we heard out of Edmonton last week, say, but he made it clear that, you know what, it would have been nice to get a save on one of those two. I don't know. We talked about a little bit with Ray yesterday, AB, how tough it is to be a backup goalie. And I know you're playing, like, the tiny violins because you get paid a lot of money to sit on the bench.
Imagine what was going through Steve Breer's mind last night when he heard that comment. Like, remember we were watching the All or Nothing series?
Oh, yeah, like, he's spicy.
It was like a goal went off his butt. He's like, oh, we got to get a save. He's like, what, off the guy's butt? And it's just, he looks, he's like, F off. Like, it was just hilarious, that little exchange. So I can only imagine Steve Breer's looking. Because, like, look at those goals last night. The first one, they're just a weird one off the glass. And Mrazek's kind of looking for the puck, everybody is, and it just kind of gets banged out of midair by Ryan Dzingel. And the second one, you know, a bit of a, you know, off the rush cross ice pass, Brody doesn't pick up his man, and Dzingel again able to kind of backdoor the goal. Like, I would, maybe that second one he could have, and like you said, he tried to poke check it, so I guess, you know, make sure if you're going to try and go for that poke check instead of make sure that you're 100% positioned for the save, make sure you get your stick on it. Make sure that you redirect it away from the guy where it's supposed to be. But ultimately, like, you know, it wasn't on Mrazek last night when you only score one goal. I mean, you're not getting much support. So it's a tough L for Mrazek to have to take.
And Keith said the same thing. And I think he tried the poke check kind of on the first goal, too. Like, I think it was kind of a similar error both times. But Keith kind of said the same thing. Yeah, it would have been nice to get one of those saves. But it's tough when you're not getting any goal support. And it's not like the Leafs weren't trying with a bajillion shots on net, but always tough to be in that scenario. And in addition to that, okay, this is what I was saying. It's hard to be a backup goalie. You get thrown in the net. You have very little time to warm up. You know that when you go in the net, like it's almost an audition every single time. And in addition to that, you look across the ice and you see a guy having a heck of a night, your team dominating the play. So in your head, what starts to happen is, oh my God, once every 15 minutes, the puck's going to come down here, and I have to make that save. Like, it's a tough mental game to be a backup goalie, and it's a tough game to also be a goalie in a game in which your team is dominating. Like, when you're not busy, I think it's almost harder, and of course I'm not a goalie, so but that's the vibe I get.
The Coyotes had 2 minutes and 36 seconds of offensive possession. Like, in ozone possession, just 2 minutes and 36 seconds the entire game. Auston Matthews had almost that much himself last night. That guy had the puck on the string the entire time. So, you know, it is tough when you know, the puck's in the other end and then it finally comes your way. You're a backup. It was only your second game since, what, October 30th? He hasn't seen, you know, much action. So it was a little bit of a tough situation, but it was kind of a trap game. We talked about that going into it. And,
we did.
You know, you couple that with an unbelievable performance from the goaltender on the other side, you know, the Leafs unfortunately coming away with no points in Arizona.
Let's bring in TSN hockey analyst, our director of scouting, Craig Button, the most interesting man at TSN. He gave Brad Marchand the title of most interesting man in the NHL yesterday, and we're crowning you, Craig, most interesting man at TSN.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm not as interesting as Brad Marchand, and I don't see why anybody would want to take an interest in what I do. Although, yesterday I was skiing at Lake Louise. That was epic.
Oh, that's interesting.
Warm temperatures. Oh, yeah. So, you know, maybe next time I'll take a GoPro and, you know, film it.
Yeah, that would be cool. Brad Marchand, Leafs fan? Did you see that quote this morning? Brad Marchand grew up a Leafs fan, guys. Like, I don't know if that speaks to how he's kind of a Leaf killer, all those playoff series, but I thought that was so interesting. Brad Marchand, longtime Leaf fan?
I find that interesting.
Who put it
because
out there, Brad Marchand? I bet you. Brad Marchand is so unbelievably smart. And who's to say he didn't put that out there? Just so you all know, in Leafs land, I grew up a Leafs fan.
Yeah.
Just a little dagger.
It killed me for our team to beat my childhood team. It killed me to see that, but I have to do what I have to do.
I mean, since we're on the topic, and we'll get to the Leafs game last night, but since we're on the topic here, Brad Marchand, like, he did have himself a night last night, a hat trick in Montreal. I think he scored in like three straight games now too. And you know, you called him the NHL's most interesting man on SC last night. And to me, like, his rise to superstardom has been almost unicorn-like. I can't think of a guy who went from being just like this pest that everybody has, that everyone loves to hate, but like, he just has so much skill, so much grit, and so much finish. There's really almost nobody like him in today's NHL.
Yeah, well, you're right. And you know, there's been this continuous development of his game. So, you know, we talk about the previous three games or whatnot. I said this last night on TSN, is that if you go back to the beginning of the 2016-17 season, so that's five seasons plus this year, there's only two players that have more points than Brad Marchand in that period of time, and their names are McDavid and Dreisaitl. You know, the Boston Bruins are the best penalty-killing team during that span. They have the best penalty-killing percentage during that span. Brad Marchand has the most shorthanded points. He has the most shorthanded goals. He's tied with Cam Atkinson during that time span. You know, he's been part of success all the way through his career. You know what I think has happened with Brad, and I've watched Brad for a long time since he was back in junior, is that I think that some of the past part, the antics, you know, took away from how good a player he was. And I think once Brad said, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to focus in on just being the best player I can be and put some of that other stuff aside. You know, he's emerged. Two-time first-team All-Star left winger, two-time second-team All-Star left winger. You go look at his resume, all he does is win. All he does is have success. Yeah. And, you know, when I talk about, you know, I never really thought about Brad Marchand as a Selke Trophy candidate. I am now, and I'm a voter. And when I watch him, scores a shorthanded goal. And, you know, people will say, yeah, he got suspended this year again. And I know he did. And, you know, sometimes you end up on that line and sometimes you go over it. But all in all, to me, Brad Marchand is one of the NHL's best players, not just their most interesting player.
Well, sticking with the Bruins, we got Tuukka Rask making his season debut tonight as the Bruins take on the Flyers. And, you know, you couple that with Pasternak starting to finally find his scoring touch after struggling a little bit early in the year. You've got Brad Marchand on an absolute heater. And now you add in Tuukka Rask, who's been one of the best goaltenders of the generation, really. I mean, are you expecting a big second half from this team?
Well, let me just say this, Dan. I think people haven't been paying attention to the Boston Bruins. You know, before their game against the Washington Capitals this week, they had a points percentage of better than 600. And like this idea that the Boston Bruins weren't performing well, to me, is not accurate. They have been performing well. Now you start to Jeremy Swayman's been a good goaltender for them. You know, Allmark's been good. Obviously, we know what Tuukka Rask is capable of doing, and you know now there's. Maybe it's not warranted, but David Krejci, does he come back into the mix after Tuukka Rask comes back? You know, I saw comments from David Krejci when he was talking about David Pastrnak being moved off of that line, and he was saying, "Well, geez, it's not something that I think I would be doing or whatnot." So David Krejci's interested in what's happening with the Boston Bruins. Is he interested in rejoining them? Because that'll make them even that much better a team. This is a good team. And I think that if you're watching them play and you're looking at players coming back and performing at a high level, trying to find more balance, Tuukka Rask, don't sleep on the Boston Bruins.
Don't sleep on the Boston Bruins. We've got TSN hockey analyst Craig Button on the phone. Craig, we'll stay on the topic of goalies, but we'll flip to last night's game. The Leafs got goalied last night. It's a lame excuse, but that's what happened. What's the mood like in the room after a night like that when you know you outplay your opponent, but the goalie just has himself a night?
Well, let me just go another direction here, and I'll come back. I was incredibly disappointed to hear Sheldon Keefe talk after that game. Like, let me emphasize, incredibly disappointed. You know, talking about, oh, we didn't have energy, you know, like we got to find a way in the third period to get better chances. You know, we're not in shape. Conditioning, he talked about. What? Like what? Like you're going to pick apart that game? Like, you know, he talked about, after the game in Vegas, coming back on a back-to-back, you know, they were unbelievable. I mean, I can understand if they only played one period. I can understand if they tried to feel their way into the game. That puck dropped, and the Toronto Maple Leafs were on their toes. They hit posts. They had glorious scoring opportunities. The goaltender at the other side of the ice, the melt, was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I can tell you this. If the Toronto Maple Leafs play games like that, they're going to win a hell of a lot of games. Let me finish this. Incredibly disappointed with Sheldon Keefe's comments after the game. Because I'll tell you what, I would go into the room and I would be saying, guys, I'll tell you what, I don't know, the only thing I could ask more of from you guys is that we found a way to get the puck behind that goaltender. But let's tip our cap to him. He was brilliant. And, you know, despite your best efforts, sometimes the guy at the other end stops you from getting the puck behind him. That's what I would have been saying. So to me, you know, it wasn't a, like, you can look at it and say, oh, trap game. But the bottom line is, Toronto didn't get trapped. Toronto came out, they dictated the game, they pushed the game. Yeah, there's going to be a mistake here or there that happened, but at the end of the day, Toronto Maple Leafs, I thought, played an outstanding game.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that too, and you mentioned the conditioning thing there, Craig. So to follow up on that, what do you think practice looks like tomorrow for the Toronto Maple Leafs? I was shaking in my boots as soon as he said it, and I don't have to partake.
But why would you be shaking your boots? This team was off for a period of time with COVID.
Exactly.
Like, really?
Yeah.
And now you're going to start questioning their conditioning? Honestly, like, are you trying to push me back to how incredibly disappointed I was in Sheldon Keefe's comments? Like, seriously, disappointed, puzzled, baffled. I don't get it. Like, seriously, that's your commentary after a game like that? Do better.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do? Now you're going to go skate the players and now, oh, yeah, we're going to get our conditioning up. Oh, yeah, look, I show you guys. You know how coaches lose credibility? By acting in that manner. That's how they lose credibility with their players.
Yeah, that's a good point. So maybe he's got a little tiptoe around that one. I mean, like, Vemelka was just unbelievable last night. Taking a peek at Sport Logic, apparently it was the sixth most goal saved above expected in a game. 4.47 goals saved above expected. Like, the Maple Leafs should have legitimately won that game, like, 5-1. That should have been the outcome. So I don't know how upset you could be with dominating a game like they did. And talk about dominating a game last night. Auston Matthews put on a show in front of his friends and family. Oh, did he ever. And you said last night, he's your guy to win the Rocket this year. And I agree. I agree with you. I've been on that train for a couple of weeks now. He's really been going. He scores in bunches. But to me, Matthews was just, like, extremely dangerous in all areas last night. Do you think that he gets enough recognition for how much he's elevated his defensive side of his game and his overall game?
Well, I mean, I'll jump on the overall part, because I don't think there's an area of the game where he's not capable of dominating. And, you know, we talk about the offensive side of the game, and I'll start there. I mean, he can beat you so many different ways. He can beat you in tight. He can beat you from the left side, the right side, from below the net. He circles back in. He hunts the puck. And then we talk about away from the puck, not just in the offensive zone, but defensively. I mean, he is a dominant force on the ice. And you think about the chances he creates for himself, the opportunities that he's able to generate. We're talking about grade A chances. And when I make, like, he won the Rocket Trophy last year. We know that. We know that he's a brilliant, elite goal scorer. And so people say, oh, yeah, that's a really hard thing to say. Well, no, it is easy to say. But at some point in time, like, you know, with Ovechkin having another terrific scoring year, and Draisaitl, and, you know, Thomas Hertl's been lost in all of this, too, and I don't see him in that category of goal scorer. But to me, Auston Matthews, the stake in the ground. I think he is my guy for the Rocket at this point in time. And, you know, again, you look at the completeness of his game. I mean, where does he not dominate and impact the game in significant ways? And just imagine if his conditioning was better.
Oh, Craig, you had to throw that one little jab in there. And look, you've been on the show many times. You've co-hosted the show many times. So you're well familiar with the game, good call, bad call. So I want to put this one out to you, Craig. Last night, Auston Matthews looked like the best player on the planet. Good call, bad call.
Yeah, last night, good call.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, like, you look at that and say, if this is the way that he could play each and every night, to me, there's... You know, that Matthews-McDavid conversation definitely starts to perk up again if this is the type of consistent, dominant play that we're going to see on a nightly basis.
He's one of the very best players in the National Hockey League. He is. Auston is one of the very best players in the National Hockey League. But that's okay. You know what? Like, what great players welcome, and they do, Connor McDavid welcomes it, is like, and we look at Sidney Crosby and Alexander Ovechkin. You know, that opportunity to not only be in that conversation, who's better, I have, like, I'm better, you're better, and then when they play against one another, that's what made that Wednesday night game in Toronto so disappointing for me, is that McDavid didn't play. And, you know, and you think about, there's not that many opportunities for McDavid and Matthews to go head-to-head, but players are driven to prove, hey, listen, I am in that conversation, and I deserve to even maybe be given the nod or being given consideration for the nod. That's what great players do, and they're not only intrinsically motivated to a great extent, but, you know, they're also looking, hey, listen, yeah, okay, I am in that space. So make no mistake about the greatest players. They have a tremendous amount of ability, and they have a tremendous amount of confidence in their abilities.
Yeah, speaking of tremendous players, John Tavares started off this year really, really hot. I think for a period of time at the beginning of the year, he was the Leafs' best player. He's been a little quiet lately compared to how he started the year. But, Craig, I'm kind of giving everyone a pass right now. It kind of feels like the season has restarted, and everybody's just kind of getting the rust off. What have you thought of John Tavares as of late?
Well, I mean, again, like, you know, John talked about, you know, being hit pretty hard by COVID in
Vancouver.
Exactly, yeah. And so, you know, you're trying to, you're the number one thing you're trying to do is you're trying to recover to a state of full health. That's number one. Then whatever conditioning you've lost, you're trying to regain that, all at the same time while trying to play at a high level of play. Well, okay, like I understand that there's going to be a drop off, but let's understand why there may be a little bit of a drop off, and let's understand that John Tavares has had a fantastic season, and yeah. Let's not measure him based on the last 12 days or whatever time frame you want to use, because there's a lot that's happened to John Tavares in that period of time. So you know what, like, again, I go back to earlier in the season when the Leafs lost those four games. And, you know, we talk about great goaltending performances. That Shesterkin performance in Toronto with the Rangers was unbelievable. Another night they just got beat by a better goaltender. All I would say is I wouldn't worry. I'm not worried. I wasn't worried then. I'm not worried now about John Tavares. So let's move forward.
In conversation with Craig Butner, TSN hockey analyst, and Craig, Marner and Engvall expected to rejoin the team here as they get set to head out to St. Louis. But Andre Cash has looked pretty good the past couple of games alongside Austin Matthews. When this team's fully healthy, like, how do you get this guy the minutes that he deserves?
Well, I mean, so we say deserve, right? Okay, so what does he deserve? I mean, the first team all-star right wing last year was Mitch Marner. Now, William Nylander is having a fantastic season. So what does he deserve? You know, I think it's a luxury. I mean, you have a player that's playing as well as Kasha right now. He's always had a very good, strong skill level. He was hindered by some injuries, concussions that affected him. But, you know, it's not so much, like, I look at it as AB. Wow, we have Andre Kasha too. Now we can move players around. He's shown some real chemistry with Austin Matthews. But, you know, Austin Matthews last year won the Rocket Richard Trophy. His late winger was Mitch Marner. I'd be careful about saying that we're just going to unseat Mitch Marner and we're going to unseat William Nylander, because they're better players than Andre Kasha. But you have Andre Kasha, and now you can consider different spots in the lineup that you can use him. You can put him up there and put Mitch Marner someplace else. But this is not a problem. This is not about somebody deserving more or somebody deserving less. This is a positive for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Craig, Connor McDavid had some interesting comments about Evander Kane yesterday, kind of sparked some debate online. Chris, I don't know if you have those locked and loaded. Craig, we'll play them for you, and then we'll get your thoughts after.
I'm not really here to discuss optic issues. You know, if fans don't like it or the media doesn't like it or whatever, I think, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm sure there's lots of things that go on the ice and whatnot that fans don't like. And you know, we don't necessarily have to discuss those up here with you guys. So, you know, the public opinion is something that obviously matters a lot, you know, but, you know, we're here to try to win games and try to you know, put together a good team on the ice.
I don't know, Craig. What do you think?
What don't you know, Julia?
I think that the public opinion kind of does matter, and I think that there was a way to say what he was trying to say, and that way probably would have been, I believe our management team has done their due diligence, I'm the captain of this team, and nothing like what we're hearing about Evander Kane would fly in my room, but all we got out of Connor McDavid, kind of the face of the game, is it is what it is.
So we said that, so now we're going to define him on base. I guess what we can do is we can look at Connor McDavid and say, you know, could he express it in a different way?
Yeah.
But do the optics matter to Connor McDavid? Should they matter? Because we think they should matter. Do we really think that like, you know what, he's going to fight every battle for us? I'm going to share something, and I shared it earlier today. Katrina Lemay-Dome, who's the chef de mission for Team Canada's entry at Beijing 2022. We were talking about this about a month ago. And there was a lot of talk about, oh, the athletes should boycott China. Oh, really? So because you think that you don't like the way China deals with certain things, now the athletes should go and boycott and abandon their dreams, and they should abandon everything they do. And as Katrina and I talked, and I said, well, what I'd like to do is everybody that says that, let's just talk about the media. Okay, great. If I'm an athlete, I'll boycott, but are you going to boycott covering the Olympics as a news outlet? Are you going to do that? So I'm not saying that Connor McDavid couldn't have been expressed his views in a little bit different way. But, like, at the end of the day, you know, Connor McDavid's focus is on the team. And I can guarantee you, that the conversations going on between Ken Holland and the coaching staff and the key players on that team are not about Evander Kane, the player. It's about what does it mean him coming to our team? He could have expressed it better, but I don't have a problem with him saying he shouldn't be concerned about optics, because it's not up to Connor McDavid to do everything that he's asked to do for public perception and everything with respect to that. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Julia.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think he probably would have liked, I don't know, I can imagine guys getting a little bit into a fluster when they're sitting up there with the mic in their face. I'd imagine he probably wanted to get that out in a different way, and I understand where he was coming from.
I think Dave Tippett did his part pretty well, where they kept asking questions, and he just kept deflecting. He's like, look, it's a guy who's not on my team. Yeah, I'm not going to coach a guy who's not on my team. When he's yeah. when he's here, then you can ask me these questions. So I thought Tippett at least handled that pretty good by just trying to deflect. And sometimes deflections work in the media, that's for sure. Craig, a pleasure as always. TSN's most interesting man, best dressed, and really appreciate it taking the time to join us again today.
I just want to let you know, be prepared for the blowback from Jeff O'Neill, O-Dog. I think he might be TSN's most interesting man.
Well,
interesting
in a different light, let's say. Interesting in different lights. You're more of a Dos Equis type of interesting. He's more of a, what did this guy say? What did that guy do? Okay, that's interesting. A little bit of a different spectrum.
Be ready for blowback. Be ready for blowback.
I'm always ready for it. O-Dog, look, Team Al-Dog is ready to go. We got some picks we got to make next week, too. So we'll be ready to go for that.
I'll finish this real quickly, AD. Just be ready, because it's one thing to be sprinting against O-Dog in your little competition. What happens if you and him have to get into feats of strength and wrestling? Oh, boy, this could come back to haunt you.
There was talks of, so, you know the Olympic event where they do, like, cross-country skiing and then they shoot targets?
Uh-huh.
There was some talk on Overdrive the other day about that being the third event between the O-Dog and I.
Cross-country skiing is hard.
Right? I'm like,
it's
are
exerting.
You kidding me? I'll get 6 feet and die. Like,
that's a workout,
be able
man.
To do that. But I guess it's more so like the toughest part is the targets, is, I guess, settling down your breathing after doing all that skiing.
The hardest part is going to be getting through the skiing. The skiing is hard. Cross-country skiing is hard.
I don't think I've never skied in my life.
AB, Julia speaks from experience, because up in Thunder Bay, there's great cross-country trails up there. I cross-country ski. So you're talking about going 6 feet. The first thing you got to do is just get the skis on your boots, and then start without falling. Yeah, like you might try to get through the first 6 inches, and then we'll go from there. You know, because as Julia says, it's not only and trying to keep the edge work and everything. Listen,
seriously,
I hadn't cross country skied in a long time since last year, and I felt like a rank novice for the first half dozen times. I got my form back now, though.
Well, there you go, Craig. Hopefully, you can get some snow this weekend. Get out on the hills there. I really appreciate it, as always. We'll catch back up with you next week.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there he goes. TSN hockey analyst, director of player scouting, Craig J. Button.
We got a text, AB. It says, it's from Bill in Ironside. He said, the Leafs have looked off, and I think this was about our JT conversation, especially later in the games since returning to COVID. The whole team looks like they're returning from injury. COVID hangovers, Fatigue is supposed to be part of the long haulers. And you know what? That's fair enough. But maybe that means good things for the Leafs in the second half of the season, since it kind of ran rampant through the team in the last month or so here.
Well, we heard, I think we had Darren Dreger on like a month or a month and a half ago, probably 2 months now. And he was talking about how there were some guys around the league who quietly were like having, you know, not great seasons. And it was more so just like long-term effects from COVID. Like this is just kind of what has happened. So it's possible the way that the, you know, this Omicron variant has really ran through basically half the league. And we had, what, 18 Maple Leafs, I believe, in the last month or so end up on the COVID list. So it could be a factor. It really could be. And it could explain these third period, you know, debacles that we saw in Colorado and in Vegas. And then, you know, last night, I didn't think they looked too tired, but Sheldon Keefe, you know, I'll take his word for it, I suppose. But I mean, they were kind of just running and skating around the ice all last night. I mean, the discrepancy in offensive like possession time is just insane to me. Like the Leafs had 11 minutes of ozone time. The Yotes had just 2 minutes and 36 seconds. Like it was just ridiculous what the Maple Leafs were able to do. Just impose their will on the Yotes last night.
Something really funny happened on the internet before we go to break. Put out a question on my Twitter and I asked if I could get another cat or if that makes me a cat lady. Feel free to weigh in. But someone said, someone named Jeff said, I feel like you're okay, just avoid the crazy part of the stereotype, blah, blah, blah. And please name it Winnie's brother.
That's good.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Keep going. Sorry.
I think you could probably get away with one more cat, I think, before you become a crazy cat lady.
Yes.
You can get away with one more. I mean, I got two dogs, right? They need a friend. Sometimes they just need a friend. But if you get more than two, now you're it's a little
okay,
pricey.
I accept that.
All right, we'll get back into this hockey game on the other side. We'll go. We'll do our stays. We'll do our goes, and we got the All-Star roster being announced later today. So you and I, we're going to do an All-Star draft. We'll be drafting the Atlantic Division. So I can't wait to do that. I got a strategy that I think is going to work, and I can't wait to get that done. That'll be around about 12:45-ish. But up next, we got Stay or Go. I'm Mike DiStefano, Al's brother. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050. I need you to
hold on. Get out of your vehicle lease ASAP. Over 200,000 customers per month looking to take over your lease. What a relief. Go to leasebusters.com for more. AB, let's get into our favorite Stay or Go.
Well, I suppose we should get going.
All right, everybody, stay right where you are.
Get the hell out of here.
No, you stay here.
You gotta get going, so go.
I'm sorry you came.
Time now for Stay.
Nobody got a gun to your head.
Or Go.
I'll be back. Let's go.
Before we get into this, Mike, actually, I've never called you Mike on the air before, and that kind of felt weird coming out of my mouth. I got a very, very convincing tweet that has pushed me over the edge. I am going to get a second cat. Mitch Marner tweeted me. It's not really Mitch Marner, I don't think, but who knows? It could be his burner. Jack Campbell got a second cat 2 years ago, and in that short time, he's become one of the best goalies in the NHL. Think of the potential you might unlock.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
all the convincing that I needed.
Maybe you'll unseat James Duthie if you get a second cat.
Duthie's got a couple cats?
I don't know, but I'm just saying you could become the best host there ever was and unseat James Duthie.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
I missed
Maybe
that one,
Bobby Margarita?
That's on me. Okay, you're right. Second cat it is. You start us off, AB. What do you want to see stay from last night's 2-1 loss to the Yotes?
Well, I don't think this is going to surprise anybody, but like just Matthews' pure dominance. But just the way that he was dominating, just being on the puck last night, you know, like he set that new record, got that goal early in the third period. He was like, I'm getting this record. Like, this is happening. So set that new record with 9 consecutive games, road games with a goal. But he just had a puck on a string all night. And like I was saying with Craig, he legitimately looked to me like the best player on the planet yesterday. Like, I don't know if I've seen a game where McDavid has dominated as much as Matthews did last night. Like, that performance was just pure perfection. The way that he was just, like, protecting the puck, his puck protection was absolutely elite. They couldn't do anything. He had 5 slot shots last night alone. So, like, this guy was just unbelievable and tried the Michigan. Could you imagine if he actually pulled that off? Like, that's all we
needed. At home?
at home in front of his friends and family. Like, that's all we're waiting for at this point with Matthews, is for him to do something just like jaw-dropping, like pulling off the Michigan, a lacrosse goal, or maybe invent something else, which I could totally see him doing. And like, Austin Matthews, I think I referenced this stat earlier, had almost as much offensive zone time with possession with the puck than the entire Coyotes team last night. The Yotes had like 2 minutes, what was it, 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 36 seconds of ozone time last night. Matthews had a minute 52 by himself. Like, that just goes to show how much he really dominated that game. The puck was always on his stick, and he always found a way to get it on net. He was elite. Just pure, pure elite superstar. And just, can't say enough good things about him. I wish they got the full 2 points so we could be even more in awe of last night's game from him.
I know. That's not the first time he's tried the Michigan either, eh? It's going to work out one of these days. My additional stay for Austin Matthews is his dad's cowboy hat. You can tell that the Matthews family is just as invested in Yellowstone as I am right now.
Yeah, I haven't given that show a go yet. I gotta get going on that. I heard good things.
She's good. She's good. My stay is William Nylander's play. Like, I know that we talk about it a lot, but I thought he looked just about as dominant as Matthews did last night every single time he was on the ice. Team high 8 shots. I wrote Nylander being an all-star, because even though he's probably not going to be an all-star, he looks like one. Like, he's just dangerous every single time he gets on the ice. Gets a breakaway like every game now. Yeah. So William Nylander's play could stay. I thought he looked awesome last night.
Yeah, he had like two like grade A chances. One was on that breakaway, which,
yeah,
who sprung him on that? Was it Tavares who sprung him on that breakaway? It was like almost Carlson-esque. Remember that Carlson-Hoffman play in the playoffs?
Oh,
a few years back, just kind of flipped it on the ice, and it landed perfectly.
It's got to be more than a few.
It just landed perfectly in front of Nylander, and like, he just stayed onside. And if he would have been able to finish on that, that would have been highlight of the night material for sure. But yeah, Nylander, he's been incredible, and I hope that consistency has always been the thing with him, right? But it seems like this year that he's been a lot more consistent at being consistent.
Something it's been since like the playoffs last year. Sorry, Amy, yeah. Go ahead.
Actually, like, I thought we were going to get to the ghost, but if you want to finish off your thought on Nylander.
I was just gushing. Keep going.
a couple of, there wasn't a lot that I didn't like last night, I guess you could say. Like, at least they dominated that game. They just got goalied, right? Like, it was just a performance of a lifetime out of Vemelka, or I guess two performances, because he also had like a 46 save shutout on Winnipeg earlier in the year. But
yeah,
there wasn't much that I didn't like, to be quite honest, about that game. But one thing that stood out to me a couple times, they didn't really stay on top of pucks. I think that Kessel blow by on Liljegren, just kind
of, oh my god,
not taking the right,
we haven't talked
just,
about that.
Yeah,
Kessel looks like he wanted to hop on the plane. He's like, take me home with you.
Big time power move by Kessel. And there was a couple of blowbys last night. And you think about the game winner off the rush, Brody kind of chasing out of position. You know, they just weren't really like on top of pucks, I guess, you know, at certain times in that game. Wasn't often. But if there was one thing, if I had to be nitpicky, I think that would probably be something that they could clean up a little bit.
Yeah, that Liljegren-Dermott. I don't know. I think it was a miscommunication that happened on that first goal. And also Dermott playing maybe on his offside contributed to that. I don't know. It just looked like it was kind of a weird situation. My go, thinking too much in the final 2 minutes, Sheldon Keefe was on the bench yelling, move faster. And I kind of thought about that in a little bit. Arizona was doing a really good job of collapsing in front and really boxing the Leafs out, so they weren't really getting those grade-A slot shots that they were getting for most of the game. And as a result of that, I think they started to move a little bit slower and pass the puck around the perimeter, which is what was driving Leafs fans kind of crazy about the power play earlier on in the year. And I think that they got stuck a little bit in that kind of cycle in the last couple minutes of the game when they were trying to score. So I guess in the words of Sheldon Keefe, maybe move faster. My other go, AB, is the conversation about Austin Matthews going to Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. Just leave it alone. It'll happen. Let life come as it comes. Let's not chat about it right now. Let's just bask in the glory of 34 in the blue and white.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at some point, maybe he ends up in Arizona, but for now, he's in Toronto. He's one of the best players on the planet. Let's just enjoy it. I'm with you. Like, I want to scrap the Matthews to Arizona rumors for the next 2-3 years. You know, like if that just happens, whatever, it happens. But for now, he's in Toronto, and let's just enjoy it while we have it, because I don't know if we've ever had a player of his caliber ever in a blue and white uniform. So yeah, let's enjoy it for sure. All right, let's take another break here, so we got enough time to do our Atlantic Division All-Star Draft. Typically we do a power ranking, but this week we're going to do a draft with the rosters being announced later today. So that's what's coming up next. I'm Mike DiStefano, a.k.a. Al's brother. She's due it to Sherry. You're listening to Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050.
This is Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here. Leafs Lunch Power Rankings. Brought to you by WeatherTech.
Time now for our Leafs Lunch Power Rankings. Brought to you by WeatherTech Automotive Accessories. Get the ultimate custom fit floor protection for your car, truck, or SUV. Go to weathertech.ca. Nothing protects like WeatherTech. Julie Tesheri, Al's brother Mike DiStefano with you on Leafs Lunch. We usually do power rankings, AB, but with the All-Star rosters coming out tonight at 6 p.m., instead of doing that, we decided to do our own All-Star roster for the Atlantic, not the Athletic Division. Obviously, 6 forwards, 3 defensemen, 2 goalies, and we have to take one player from each Atlantic team, which is really where things get difficult.
That is where things get difficult, because you get to a point where it's like, Buffalo, who do we take? There's not much there. It's slim pickings, but we decided to put a little bit of a different spin on it. Instead of us, you know, projecting our teams, because we figured they would look somewhat similar, the same, we decided to go 1v1, mano y mano, and we're going to draft an Atlantic Division team. So, you know, this is a draft. As if these two teams are going to play together afterwards, we're going to stick these teams up online, and you give us the input who you think drafted the better team. So let's get this bad boy started. Like you said, 6 forwards, 3 defensemen, 2 goalies, 1 player from each team. You won the coin toss. You get the first overall pick. Where are you going, JT?
Of course I'm going straight to Arizona with Austin Matthews.
Of course you're going with Matthews. I mean, that just makes sense. He's been 100% the best player in this division. And yeah, I would bet my house that that guy is going to get the All-Star nod later tonight. All right, number two, I'm gonna go defenseman, and I'm gonna take who I think is the best defenseman in the division, and that's one Mr. Victor Hedman. I'm gonna go Victor Hedman out in Tampa Bay. The guy's just an absolute horse, an absolute stud. So I think Victor Hedman is a solid choice for myself. Work from the blue line out. So Victor Hedman, my pick at number two. And we're doing it in the snake order, so I get the third pick as well. I'm going to go with Jonathan Huberdeau. I think Jonathan Huberdeau is having an unbelievable season. He's got like 47 points this year. The guy is just scoring at will right now, and he's an unbelievable playmaker. So at 3-on-3, is this guy going to make some plays? So I like putting Huberdeau on my team as well. All right, fourth pick, you got it, JT.
Okay, I got to start locking down my blue line too. Ekblad. Give me Aaron.
Aaron Ekblad. That's the first defenseman you're taking off the board?
Yeah? Are you serious? Hate on Aaron Ekblad. He's wildly underrated. How many points has he got this year?
32
is
points.
Is he a point per game right now?
He's got 32 and 35, I think. I was looking it up because obviously I did some, you know, some research looking into the draft.
How can you hate on
scouting?
That pick?
I'm not
you?
Hating on the pick. I say it's a little early. You know, it just seems a little bit early. But
okay,
that's
where
all
are you going?
You got a second pick, though. No, you got a second pick because we go back to back, right?
Okay. I'll say Barkov. Stay with the same team.
Austin and Barkov down the middle. Jeez,
I know.
You're taking all the good centermen here.
Load up front.
You are.
We saw what happened last night.
Yeah, loading up down the middle is a decent strategy. You know what else is a decent strategy in this draft? And I am totally going to Siri right now. I talked about it. I teased it earlier that I had a certain strategy, and I hoped that I would be able to implement it, and we are. You fell right into my trap. We're doing it. I got pick 6 and pick 7. We're going Jack Campbell and Andre Vasilevsky. That's right.
Oh,
I'm taking
that's dirty.
Two goalies back to back. The top two goalies, the only two that deserve to be at the All-Star game in my estimation. Jack Campbell, Andre Vasilevsky. Welcome to Team Al's brother. Let's go. You're up at number 8. good luck with your goalies. Although now you don't have to pick them for a while.
I'm just
going to
outplay you. Yeah, no, I'm going to leave my goalies till the end now. We'll keep building the blue line. We'll go McAvoy.
Ooh, he's having a sneaky good season. I like McAvoy a lot. All right, you got the ninth pick as well. We gotta start picking things
up. Oh, God. Okay, spot. I'll round out my blue line with Cider because we have to take from every team, and
there's slim pickings in Detroit. You're right. It's slim pickings
in
Detroit.
I don't want to say that because there's Bertuzzi. There's all those guys. But in terms of blue liners, I'll go Cider.
I like Cider a lot, though. He's going to be a stud. Somehow, some way, the most interesting man is still on the board. So I'm going to go with Brad Marchand as my 10th pick. And I'm going to go with Steven Stamkos. He's got like 45 points or something like that this year. The guy's scoring at an ungodly pace. So Marchand Stammer, love that. You got the 12th pick in the draft.
Willie Nylander, and then I have 13 as well, and I have to take Senator. And the Senator that I want is
Batherson.
I want Batherson.
Okay, so you're going to go Batherson over...
I think Batherson's having a better year than Brady.
He's having a good year. I'm going to go... All right, so Montreal, I need to get someone from Montreal. I'm going to go Nick Suzuki. Let's go ahead and take Mitch Marner, too. 3-on-3, I think that the guy's still just going to dazzle with that much space. So I think Suzuki Marner is going to be my pick here. You got two more. You need a Sabre. You need a Montreal Canadian. Where are you going to go? You still need a couple
goalies. I'll knock those two off right now. I need a Canadian. I'll go to Foley. And I need a Sabre. Tage Thompson.
Ooh, Tage Thompson. I'll go Dylan Larkin as my Red Wing, and then I need a Senator. So let's round out the blue line, too, since I need two blue liners. We'll go Thomas Chabot as the blue liner, and that closes out my need for Ottawa. So you got goalies. So which two goalies you want? That's all you need.
There's only really, like, you took the two all-star goalies, so I guess I'll take Nedeljkovic and Bobrovsky, but I think they'll have great all-star games, and I think that Team JT will come out victorious in this non-existent match.
Well, I'll finish it off. I do need a Buffalo Sabre, and I will take Rasmus Dahlin. So I like my squad. I like it a lot. I got Huberto, Stamkos, Marchand, Suzuki, Larkin, Marner, Hedman, Chabot, Dahlin, Campbell, and Vasilevsky. You've got Matthews, Barkov, Batherson, Nylander, Tage Thompson, Toffoli, McAvoy, Ekblad, Cider, and then Bobrovsky and Nedeljkovic. So we're going to toss these two teams up on the Twitters at LeafsLunch1050. You let us know who drafted the better team, and keep your eyes open to see who will actually make the All-Star team later today. Rosters being announced at 6 p.m. I think the expectation is we'll see Matthews and Campbell for sure, but whether or not Nylander, Marner, maybe Riley factors into this, we'll have to see, and that's something that I'm sure we'll be chatting about tomorrow. But that's to do it for us here today. If you missed any of today's show, you can find it on tsn1050.ca, wherever you get your podcast. I'm Mike DiStefano for Julia Teixeira. You've been listening to Leafs Lunch Gameplay with Matt Cause. Next.